Our scripture readings this morning are taken from the books of Romans and Ephesians. Our first passage is Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
And I invite you to rise as you're able as we sing our sermon hymn. It will be number 287 in the red hymnal, Our God Has Made Us One.
I think up here is good. So good morning. All right. I was told to look at this like a glorified children's moment. So let's get all the stuff off topic we normally don't talk about. So Richard, please, what did you have for breakfast this morning? All right, Ryan Holgrave, what color shoes do you have on? All right, anything else that's kind of off? All right, we're all good to go then. But after talking about chocolate chips, that was a great children's moment. We're going to, this will be short. We'll be out of here by 10 after 11. So, cookie time. So, I like to start out, kind of relaxes me a little bit, tell a joke. I'm a very serious person, as you all know. But, so there's these three guys out golfing one beautiful Saturday morning. Moses, Jesus, and this old guy. And they're on the third hole. Moses steps up. It's a little par three. Steps on the green, hits it right into a pond right by the green. Takes his pitching wedge out, walks up to it, slams it on the ground right in front of the pond. The pond splits. Moses walks out to the bottom of the pond, chips it onto the green. Jesus says, "Nice shot." Jesus up next. Stands up there, hits the shot, hits the same pond. This time the ball sets on top of the water. Jesus walks out on the water, chips it off, puts it on the green. Moses, "Nice shot, Jesus." This old duffer gets up there and he hits it. It was the worst shot of the three. It bounced off a couple trees, off a rock, the cart path, lands in the same pond, goes to the bottom, just like Moses' ball. But big old carp grabs it, takes it to the surface, spits it out. This dove grabs it, flies it over the green, drops it just by the hole. Squirrel runs out of the tree, walks over to it and pushes it in for a hole in one. Jesus turns around, looks at the old guy, says, "Nice shot, Dad. You're showing off." So, all right. To teach is to learn, and the teacher and the learner are the same. So there's a story from many years ago that tells of an elementary school teacher whose name was Mrs. Thompson. And before I go any further, I don't memorize things like I used to, so I'm going to look down quite a bit, but you guys will hear my message. Her name was Mrs. Thompson. As she stood in front of her fifth grade class on her first day of school, she told her children a lie. Like most teachers, she looked at her students and told them that she loved them all the same. But that simply was not true. Because there in the front row, slumped in his seat, was a little boy named Teddy Stoddard. Mrs. Thompson had watched Teddy the year before and noticed that he didn't play well with others, and his clothes were messy, and he was consistently in need of a bath. Teddy could be unpleasant at times, and it got to the point where Mrs. Thompson would take delight in marking his papers with a big, broad red pen and marking bold X's and finally putting a big F on top of his papers. At the school where Mrs. Thompson taught, she was required to review each child's past records. She put Teddy's off until last. When she finally reviewed his file, she was in for a surprise. Teddy's first grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is a bright child with a ready laugh. He does his work neatly and has good manners. He's a joy to be around." Then she read the second grade teacher. She wrote, "Teddy is an excellent student and well-liked by his classmates, but he's troubled because his mother has a terminal illness and life at home must be a struggle." His third grade teacher wrote, "His mother's death has been hard on him. He tries to do his best, but his father doesn't show much interest. His home life will soon affect him if steps aren't taken." Teddy's fourth grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is withdrawn and doesn't show much interest. He doesn't have many friends, and sometimes he even sleeps in class." So by now, Mrs. Thompson realized a problem, and she was ashamed of herself. She felt even worse when her students brought her Christmas presents wrapped in beautiful ribbons and bright paper, except for Teddy's. His present was clumsily wrapped in heavy brown paper that he got from a grocery bag. Mrs. Thompson took the pain to open it in the middle of the other presents. Some of the other children started to laugh when she found a rhinestone bracelet with some of the stones missing and a bottle that was 1/4 full of perfume. But she stifled the children's laughter when she explained how pretty the bracelet was. While she was putting it on, she dabbed some of that perfume on her wrist. Teddy Stoddard stayed after school that day just long enough to say, "Mrs. Thompson, today you smell just like my mom used to." After the children left, she cried for at least an hour. On this very day, she quit teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, and instead she began to teach children. Mrs. Thompson began to pay close attention to Teddy and worked with him. And as time went on, his mind seemed to come alive. The more she encouraged him, the faster he responded. And by the end of the year, Teddy had become one of the smartest children in the class. Despite her lie, he had become one of her pets. A year later, she found a note under the door from Teddy, telling her that she was the best teacher he had ever had in his whole life. 6 years passed, and by her surprise, another note from Teddy. He wrote that he had finished high school third in his class, and that she was still the best teacher that he had ever had in his whole life. 4 years later, another one came saying that things had been tough at times, but he stayed in school, stuck with it, and that he graduated from college with the highest of honors. And he assured Mrs. Thompson she was still the very best and favorite teacher he had ever had in his whole life. 4 more years passed by, and another letter came. This time, he explained that after he got his bachelor's degree, he decided to go a little further. Again, assuring her that she was still the best and favorite teacher he had ever had, the letter was signed Theodore F. Stoddard, M.D. The story doesn't end there. There was one final letter. That spring, Teddy had met a girl, and he was going to get married. He explained that his father had died a couple years ago and was wondering if Mrs. Thompson might agree to sit in the place at his wedding that usually is reserved for his mother. Of course, Mrs. Thompson did. She wore that bracelet, the one with the several rhinestones missing. She made sure she was wearing that perfume that Teddy remembered his mother wearing on their last Christmas together. And after the wedding, they hugged each other as Dr. Stoddard whispered in Mrs. Thompson's ear, "Thank you so much for making me feel important and showing me that I could make a difference." Mrs. Thompson, with tears in her eyes, whispered back, "Teddy, you have it all wrong. You were the one who taught me that I could make a difference. I didn't know how to teach until I met you." That was written in a 1974 Home Life magazine by the author of Elizabeth Ballard. So, to teach is to demonstrate. From your demonstrations, others learn, and so do you. The question is not whether you will teach, for in that, there's no choice. I want to thank right now all the teachers, educators, coaches, anyone else in our schools, colleges, or daycares, past, present, retired. A well-deserved break was this summer, and it was entitled, but it's back to work for another year. What an educator sees in the classroom, on the playing field, practice field, in a hallway, library, a quiet corner, or anywhere in the community can break a heart or make the heart of a teacher. True actions of a child or a young adult will always come out when they're not at home, and an educator sees that. It doesn't matter if there's a positive or negative things going on in that youth's life. It shows away from home, and you folks see it. And you have to take those emotions home with you to your families, all of them. So thank you for bearing those sometimes over-the-top spectacular things, but thank you sometimes for those most awful things. I want to go a little bit deeper. And before I go a little bit deeper, I want to say thank you to Mrs. Fish. She was one of my favorite teachers in fifth grade. I was the first one in our class to talk about all the presidents. Anybody had Mrs. Fish in here? Raise your hand. Wow. Did you guys all memorize the presidents? Yeah. So how many years? About 30 years? So if you figure 30 years at 80 to 100 students, you're looking at almost 3,000 kids that memorize the presidents. That's something else. So thank you, Mrs. Fish. So I want to go a little bit deeper. I want to talk about us, this family, St. John's. I don't bring this up to cause any friction or spotlight anyone, but I want to address this as a congregation. We are all charged as a teacher, learner, no matter the role. Pastor, consistory, Sunday school teacher, pianist, choir director, usher, custodian, acolyte, sound person. This list can go on. I was told once that if everyone played second base, there'd be no ball team. So it takes multiple, multi-talented people to make the world go around. It takes multiple, multi-talented people to make St. John's go around. So we're both teachers and students from the moment we were born. And the act of giving goes both ways, just not from the teacher to the student. With our actions, deeds, and thoughts, we are showing the world who we are, what we believe in, and what we stand for, what we think of ourselves and others. And those are all teaching acts that are equally important for us and others. So let's go back just a few years. One day, some of us are going to be telling our grandchildren a story, and it goes like this. Once upon a time, there were no people on the streets. Nothing was moving. No kids were allowed to go out to the playgrounds. Schools were closed. Churches were closed. Many businesses were closed. No parents were allowed to go to work. Only one person allowed to go to buy food because outside of all our homes was an invisible threat to our lives, Mr. Coronavirus. So I'm going to ask a question here. I want you to take just a second to think about something. What did we use that time for? Now, it's up to us how we'll use our time with our kids and each other. One thing's for sure, we can make a difference as a teacher by choosing love, understanding, generosity, positivity, kindness, laughter, encouragement, and joy. And our kids are making a difference in us too. We are all given the time with them and each other. So I'm here to thank all the classroom educators. But more importantly, I'm here not to waste the gift of time with kids and each other. I'm asking that somehow, in some way, you become involved here at church in a different way that you've never done before. Teach a Sunday school class. Attend a Sunday school group. Volunteer on Wednesday nights during logos. Come help and support the Tuesday night community meals. Do a little maintenance around the church. If you drive by and see some sticks in the yard, swing in, pick them up, throw them on a pile. If you see some weeds to be sprayed, spray them. How many times have you sprayed this year? A bunch. They grow on concrete, and they'll never go away. So there's a lot of projects that are going on and going to be happening. A lot of projects in that barn out there. We all can get involved in that. The Talent Gong Show is just around the corner. We have a wonderful choir, seen stronger numbers in the past. Share some musical gift that you have. Thanks, Mike. It was great the second time around, too. If you have a devotion or testimony, come up and share it. Do a little investigating on many of the many committees we have here at church. Give one a try. Maybe you've thought about something new for the church, and that's all it's been is just a thought. Share it with someone and see what it might become. Sharing with somebody is kind of like fertilizer. You may have that seed in your mind that needs a little help from someone else here at St. John's to make it a huge, huge attraction for that someone out there that's lost or just looking for a new home. Or if you're that person that just enjoys a good Sunday morning service and likes to read what's going on in the church and the bulletins, then I just ask you simply that your role is to pray for everybody that's involved with those things that make this family go. And that's all right too. So Mrs. Roop said a few weeks ago, and we've all heard before, if you want to walk on water, you have to what? Get out of the boat. Are we always going to agree? No. I go back to if everyone played second base theory that I just mentioned a few minutes ago. Think of it this way and listen closely. McDonald's can screw up your order 101 times, but you still keep going back. One thing goes wrong here at church, some people quit. You guess you're just not hungry enough. I'm not spotlighting anybody. Now, I'm not going to say I've never felt this. I've been on the wrong side of my heart many, many times with people here at St. John's. Subjects, beliefs, then some things that are practiced here. Sometimes it takes time to heal and understand. Over the last few months, we've had to make some difficult decisions as a church family. And maybe you were on the fence. And maybe you were completely one-sided. Regardless, the reason why we are here is to hang together, not separately. Loving unity in the body of Christ is priority number one. We are moving through some transitions in many different ways. Times are going to maybe be tough now and then, but our unity is in the Lord. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground. I want to talk about something else that holds real close to my heart. It's the fire service here in town. And before I go on to what I have to read, in the last week, many of you know that we had an accident. An accident is defined as an unplanned event. I want to thank you on behalf of the fire department for the prayers. It was amazing what I saw out there. I saw three helicopters. Two of them weren't even dispatched. They just heard that there was an ambulance involved. One of them was from U of M. One was St. V's, one was ProMedica. There were five people in that ambulance, and there was two people in another car. Everybody's okay. The worst case scenario, that's something you don't want to hear as a first responder, is one of your vehicles getting into an accident, and it's an unplanned event. That person didn't set out to hurt anybody. I have a lot of conversations with our chief, and he's excited to talk eventually to the folks in the other vehicle to let them know that it's not their fault. I thought a lot about Buffy. Her daughter was in the back of that ambulance. She's a young medic, and I hope this doesn't scar her, so please continue prayers for everybody in that squad. But it was neat to see the community, the people that were there that were not first responders that showed up. It was amazing. This church is a lot like that. We come together when we need it. So, the fire service can be a very difficult place to serve as a Christian. Daily, we are bombarded with images and events that test our faith to its very core. Firefighters can take comfort and gain encouragement from the truth contained within the Bible and from others in the fire service who have walked down similar roads. Christianity is more than a religious system that first responders must keep to please God. Christianity is a relationship with God who loves us and dispatched his son Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for the bad things we've done in life. Once we have begun our relationship with God, it's important for us to strengthen and grow that relationship. We need to find our role. Our church family is no different with this than this concept that we have at the fire department. So now I'd like to read a little devotion from the 90 Days of Encouragement, written by Craig Duck, a lifelong firefighter, retired lieutenant after 28 years of service in the Washington, D.C. Fire Department. Today, Craig continues to volunteer and serve his community in a small town in Virginia. He starts out, Romans 16:17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Like many firefighters and first responders, I love to teach, says Craig. Over the years, I have learned that making obstacles is an excellent way to teach young firefighters. When a recruit comes to an obstacle, he or she must learn how to overcome that barrier and be able to complete that task. Entanglement, certain obstacles, locked doors, walls that need to be breached are just a few of the props that we threw together to help students learn. Lately, I've seen other departments that have made bigger and better props. I've seen rapid intervention stations, ladder stations, and wires, and propane props that all challenge the students to learn how to overcome these obstacles. Paul cautions us to watch out for other people who create obstacles that hinder our walk with Christ. While creating obstacles are good for teaching firefighter techniques, it is not good to create them in our faith journey. These obstacles are contrary to what you will learn from biblical principles and go against everything God has ever taught us. There always seem to be people around us who cause division. They usually stir up strife among believers because of their smooth talk or flattery appeal to earthly emotions. Our obedience to Christ is more value than a quick worldly passion. Daily reading and strong studying of the Word of God is one way to avoid these obstacles and ensure we are living a life that is pleasing to God. And then he goes on to pray, Lord, help me to identify those I meet who are contrary to your will for my life. Help me to stay focused on pleasing you. So, back to the story about Teddy Stoddard. Have you realized how important you are to this church and your church family? I think back to the Vonda Mary Hall a few Mays ago. When I walked out seeing all those folks from St. John standing out there ready and willing to do anything, that was my church family. I hope everyone's summer was safe. Tons of family time was spent together, wherever you were at. Don't forget about this family here. The church is on a new year. Things are going to fire back up. Why not get involved in something new this church year? Or get re-involved. Give it a shot. I'm going to finish here with three small scriptures. Psalms 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Proverbs 22:6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Luke 6:40. The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like the teacher. So, to teach is to learn, and the teacher and the learner are the same. Find and play your position. Amen.
We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. I invite our ushers forward to collect this morning's offerings.
God, we ask that you bless these gifts before us, that they be used for the good works of this church, of your church family, and the missions that we serve. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is found in the bulletin as an insert, "There Are Many Gifts." And following the spoken benediction, our benediction and song will be "The Trees of the Field."
Please, so bow your heads. Lord, help us to identify those we meet who are contrary to your will for our lives. Help us to stay focused on pleasing you. Lord, I ask you to give us the strength and the courage to go forth and serve Christ through the power of your presence and the Holy Spirit. Amen.